Yes, thank you for this nice introduction. I am Konstantin. You may have seen me before. I'm going to talk to you, give you a bit of an update on telecommunications data retentions, and we will say why we believe that quick freeze is a chance to finally bury telecommunications data retention. I'll be interested in your opinion on that. Peter Lugin did already say that we have a bit of doubt. Please keep posting on Mastodon. Please keep watching what we post on Mastodon. Are the handles in the picture already? Doesn't seem like they are. I will give you a brief overview how this talk is going to proceed. We're going to sketch what telecommunications data retention actually is, what the problem is, what happened so far, how does the current social democrat green liberal government relate to it, and how is it going to continue. So telecommunications data retention has been around for a long, long time. Many of you know about it, but let me briefly summarize. This means that all connection data about calls and locations of mobile phones are stored. The reason is to fight severe crime, but it affects the whole population. So who calls whom at what time? When did you use Grindr or Tinder? If you are, have you been in touch with journalists who are doing investigative journalism? So these are sensitive data. And just from these metadata, you can draw far-reaching conclusions about people's lives, what interests you have, what your professional contacts are, and so on. And such a storage without cause violates the European fundamental rights to privacy, and it's detrimental to human rights. And that's why we, as a digital courage, demand that telecommunications data retention should be prohibited. I'll very briefly tell you what we've done on this so far, but I will be very brief on this. Our website has a lot of detail, digitalcourage.de/Vorratsdatenspeicherung. This is in German, Vorratsdatenspeicherung is the German term. You'll find all kinds of information there. In the last two decades, so a long time before I even started working at Digital Courage, Rena and Padloon have been active doing political work. And at the end of the day, we need parliamentary majorities. We have mobilized against data retention publicly, large demonstrations, large rallies under the Freedom Not Fear motto. And we went to the constitutional courts to ask for our fundamental rights to be respected. I got some slides in the wrong order here. Okay, I forgot one slide, not a problem. Telecommunications data retention was actually nullified once, rejected. That was as far ago as 2008 or 9 when this law was passed, and Digital Courage went to the German Constitutional Court, and the court then nullified that law. You could assume now that politicians are able to learn and realize that if this is not compatible with basic rights will stop doing this. There are better instruments, but sadly this didn't work. The Grand Coalition, that's Social Democrats and Conservatives, said, okay, we'll just pass a new law. We'll give it a slightly different name, and maybe it will work this time around. And that concept, as you can see in this image here, has kind of gathered mold, and it's just a very old tricks in slightly new form. And again, this was recognized as in violation of fundamental rights. So what did we do? We did file the next constitutional complaint where more than 30,000 people signed, co-signed. And the complainants, including Padloon and Renat Hangens of Digital Courage, but also the cartoonist Mark-Uwe Kling, the writer Julie C., the now member of the European Parliament, Patrick Breyer, were in that complaint. SpaceNet, which is a Bavarian ISP, went to the courts as well. And a local court actually made it possible for them to say, we don't want these data. It's not our task to store data without cause. And this was actually forwarded to the European Court of Justice. And we have a podcast episode about this case at the European Court. And fortunately, after years of waiting, the European Court of Justice nullified the German telecommunications law, telecommunications data retention law, yet again on the 20th of September, again giving us in black and white the information, the confirmation that European basic rights were violated and that it was not necessary to do this. There are some interesting details in that ruling, for example, that a short-term storage, even a short-term storage, constitutes a severe intrusion into people's fundamental rights. So even a telecommunications data retention that it would last about 3 weeks is not admissible under basic rights. There is the term national security, where the member states retain their competence, and politicians try to extend this term to everything possible, but the European Court of Justice clearly said this is a narrow term and it does not apply to a severe crime. So a large event such as a war, a terrorist attack, these are events where national security is affected, but not severe crimes such as murder or things like that. So these do not legitimize telecommunications data retention in these situations. And which is also what is something that's also important, politicians just like to argue, well, now that we have the data, we can use it for other purposes. That is a threat. And the European Court of Justice clearly said, no, if you have these concrete threats, then the data may only be used for those. You cannot repurpose them. The problem is that the court actually allowed some exceptions. So the fight of the most severe kind of crime has been included under certain applications. And they said that that could be compatible with European Union law. That could mean that a certain group of people or a certain regional, local area affected by severe crime, that could mean railway stations, airports, if they are regarded as a security risk, could be affected, could be subjected to telecommunications data retention. But the court also stressed that this has to be proportionate and it has to be appropriate for the cause. And we still believe that telecommunications data retention is not effective because you look for the needle in the haystack and you simply increase the haystack by collecting data on all citizens' connection data en masse. And then to try and extract meaningful insights from that is not actually made more easy that way. So governments have to accept that even if under certain circumstances it might be allowed to introduce telecommunications data retention for a particular cause, they still have to prove that this measure will actually help. Another big issue here is that these exceptions that exist often mean that areas are defined as under particular threat that can be also used to discriminate against certain groups and are used to gather more data about certain groups that are disadvantaged and discriminated against. So there is an evil cycle here, a vicious cycle that keeps repeating. And investigation methods that are not really useful might be furthered by this. The European Court of Justice also said that securing of data that's already present might be admissible. That is called a quick freeze, and I'm going to talk about this in more detail. And then, sadly, the European Court of Justice also said that a general storage of IP addresses without cause might be permitted, and we've already seen that the German Interior Minister Nancy Faeser and other government officials from the federal states want to use this and want to go to the maximum of what is allowed by the European Court of Justice ruling. And a certain explanation that the European Court of Justice gave is something that I find very important, and said that governments in European member states should not take what the European Court of Justice regarded as just admissible and implement it in general security policy, because security policy is not there to undermine basic rights and go to the maximum limits and therefore achieve security. Security and freedom are goods that are interlinked, and only someone who is free can feel secure. Then in 2020, before the court ruling, we had elections in Germany. We had had the conservatives, the CDU, in government for 16 years, but now the majority changed and they are not in government now. So we were hoping for a change of course, and we were getting involved in the coalition negotiations after the elections. You can find the paper that we wrote and sent to the coalition negotiations on our website. And one of the priorities that we defined, the demands that we made, was that the new German government should bury telecommunications data retention. And we were hoping that the ministries would not be so resistant to advice, and that we might find a positive and constructive mood within the ministries. Sadly, though, the picture is mixed. There are voices in government that say we don't want to have a surveillance without cause anymore. The Justice Minister, Marco Buschmann, liberal from the Liberal Party, has quite clearly voiced his positions against telecommunications data retention. And the civil servants in the ministry, in the Interior Ministry, which has been under conservative control for a long time, are clearly positioned in favor of telecommunications data retention, and the minister, Nancy Faeser from the Social Democrats, is speaking in much the same way. And the coalition treaty includes a very pragmatic wording, saying, well, let's wait for what the courts say. A reminder, this was written before the European Court of Justice ruling, and then let's see what we can do. And the treaty says, in view of the current legal uncertainties, we are going to wait, and then we will look at the rules for telecommunications data retention and shape them in such a way that they are safe in a legal sense, and see that telecommunications data can be stored. And that includes the current conflicts in the coalition. It includes the position by Nancy Faeser, who wants to store into IP addresses, and the position of the Justice Minister, who wants to subject it to a court order and judicial oversight. And that's why, after the European Court of Justice ruling, the discussions, the debates already started. It hadn't been even cooled down from the printing press. First interviews were made trying to interpret the ruling, trying to find out which direction the ruling should be taken. Although the very clear message had been from the ruling that the German current German law was in violation of fundamental rights and cannot be reproduced in a slightly different form. Then Marco Buschmann, the Justice Minister, brought forward his position, which is called Quick Freeze.
And this is all still being discussed. It is only a suggestion. And it was published, and you can look at the suggestion, and it is in judicial German and legal German, and it's not fun to read, and we will have help by lawyers to really interpret what is in there. And this, the most important points that I will summarize here are, there will be paragraph 108G will be changed in the law, and it says then that it shall be possible to retain certain data, but there will be no mandatory data retention by service providers, which has been discussed a lot, especially in this summer. The Christian Democrats said in the parliament that data should be retained for at least 6 months, and that is not in this bill, in this proposed bill, and there shall be, it needs to be under judicial oversight in the quick reese. And it means that if there has been a crime in a certain category, in a certain catalog, and then there can be a request to service providers that they already have the data that already create in daily operation, and they may store them then for a few days, and they usually need them for a few days to create invoices and for administrative processes, and they will store them for these internal purposes. But it might also be a shorter period of time, because there is no certain prescribed period. And if these kinds of data are there, then under judicial oversight, there can be the request to the ISPs that these data should not be deleted. And then there can be another request that these data shall then be evaluated. And to the crimes that fall under this category are, for example, there are quite a few. There's, for example, murder and treason, and then some activists have been charged with that, and crimes against national defense and forming gangs and organized crime and tax evasion and unjustified request for political asylum. So there's quite some catalog there. And if such a crime has been committed, there is maybe a probable cause, and there's really a probable suspicion that you could really find relevant information in these data for that crime, then there can be a further request to the court to be able to evaluate the data. Otherwise, they will also be then deleted again. And I found this mascot, which is the goldfish, and I imagine the goldfish, I'm not sure it's really true, but legend says that goldfish can, within a few seconds, they will forget everything. They have been swimming a circle and have forgotten everything about it. And that would be the ideal scenario, that the data that are already available at the service providers for processing, that have been stored, and that they will only are stored as long as necessary for operation, and then will be deleted. But if the criminal prosecution requires these data, then the quick freeze will be comes into play, and then the water with the goldfish will be frozen. Well, the goldfish would die probably, but I find this picture really interesting, because that even if there is this order for freezing those data, it is still a violation of basic rights, and still a court has to order that, and they can only do that in cases where it is really necessary. And I find this picture, this image, quite nice, and maybe you can write us what you think of this image, and if we should find a name for the mascot. There are some implications of quick freeze. For example, we need quick availability of courts and judges, and if data can only be stored for a short time, then it has to be worked on very fast. And the danger is that judges might too easily accept that request. And there is the danger that there might come in the future a minimum retention time. The Ministry of the Interior and the Ministry of Justice maybe find a compromise for another law, and then in another law will create a minimum retention time, and that would really make the quick freeze obsolete, because then there would still be data retention without cause. And it could also be that this law will be passed as it is now, and at a later time, other politicians will argue that without a minimum data retention time, there is no sense in that, and we have to really adjust this law accordingly. And also, there is the question if there is perhaps the possibility to restrict the amount of data and the types of data that can be stored, and better control mechanisms can be implemented. And we see a big danger that It could be that, for example, in Görlitzer Park, there is, for example, a drug-related crime and data will be stored, and this crime is then solved. And then there's the next one, and the next, and the next, and suddenly there is sort of a continuous data retention, although quick freeze should really stop this continuous data retention, because it can only be done for a certain probable cause with a limited time, and that requires protective measures. And maybe one instrument could be that there is the global use of this tool cannot be used in a very wide manner. And one hope is that for an exhaustive information obligation for this, for example, if you are if there's a quick freeze that concerns you as a person about which there are investigations, and if all these persons need to be informed, then the effect could be that the tool wouldn't really just be used just in case, and so that there won't be a huge amount of such cases, which could then also be challenged at a court of law, but only if you know that you have been the target of these measures, then you can take legal action. And there should also be a paragraph in the law that no new obligations for data retention should be derived from that. And that, for example, if it says that no certain type of data are stored by an ISP, then it shouldn't be possible to compel the service provider to store this new kind of data. And quick freeze can only be applied to data that are already there at the service provider because they are necessary operationally. And it should be clear that there can be no minimum retention time, and that so that it cannot be added later to the law, that this shall be impossible. And I think only like that there could be a certain acceptance, a public acceptance of that tool. So the question is how to continue. And the suggestion from Minister of the Justice Buschmann is now discussed internally. And the Minister of the Interior, Nancy Faeser, is against it and says it can be extended to data retention without cause. But she said that is not enough. And we shall watch closely what happens in the internal negotiations within the coalition so that there are no new compromises, that, for example, when controlling the chats, that the Free Democrats get one of their demands and maybe the Social Democrats will now get their data retention, and things like that must be prevented, and we have to take a very close look. Otherwise, we think that if this quick freeze method, as it is sketched out now, if that is improved a little bit because it still contains too many types of crimes, and if the use of that without cause can be prevented effectively, then this is really a chance for a constructive dialogue that we can really stop telecommunications data retention for good. And we have seen that data retention like this doesn't work, and courts always have to reject that again and again. And we think there really is a chance with quick freeze that the parliament says this is the way we want to go, and the telecommunications data retention will finally be buried. And we really hope that that will work. And if it doesn't, we will really have new demonstrations. We go out on the street, and our lawyers are already ready for that. Thank you. So we thank you. Please remain here. We have lots of questions, and that is none. Maybe some will come in later. And thank you very much for the presentation. I'm very really curious what's going to happen. And we have been at the Constitutional Court, and we really were moved to tears that the data retention has been rejected, not forever, not for good. And we are still working on that, and you are working on that, and many other people are working on that. And I would be really glad if Quick Freeze would really, that we would really create a tool, because there are some crimes where we need new tools for stalking, for example. And the network hasn't been a law-free room. And for example, there is now one question. And how can we help most effectively to prevent data retention? That was the word.
Well, it can always help if you raise awareness, read our newsletter, see what we post on Mastodon, just follow current developments. And if, for example, in January, a flawed compromise might appear, then you might help us by creating awareness quite quickly. And Padaloon, you co-organize the large demos, maybe go out to the streets, onto the streets with us. We have to prove that we are not going to be grinded down. And the next approach, and the one after next for telecommunications data retention, all have to be prevented. We may not have to reach ourselves onto the streets. We'll have to see. Maybe there'll be a new tradition there. We are financed by donations, and as I said, we need help by lawyers if we are to go to the Constitutional Court. So, of course, all this costs money, so donating is always something that anyone can do. Or you might become a supporting member of Digital Courage, which gives us security in the long term, telling us that we know what funds we might get from one month to the next. We are about 20 employees at the moment, and we need more as we keep realizing. And through regular donations and memberships, we actually get about half of what we need for that. So the other half is something we regularly have to achieve by one-time donations. If you have some money to pass on through inheritance, but well, we prefer you to stay with us, actually, to stay around. But also contribute to the development of these red lines when new quick freeze rules are made up. So this is a debate that we have to enter into. So contribute to that, both directly now. We will publish things. We will keep you updated on Mastodon. So follow this, respond to let us know how you feel about this. That will help us too.
So to move away from the advertising now, I have another question. I would like you to read the question and I can answer it. And that is this one here. Okay, for about optimism. I love optimism, but I have lost all hope. Arguments are ignored and strawmen will be brought up again and again.
Well, I would like to answer this because given that I have been working on these things for more than 40 years, and I've tried to kind of have an effect as a person to, of course, if you look at these things, you have to keep standing up, fighting on, then you have these straw man arguments and all that. What is included, well, necessary for winning is that you not get tired down, and that is a necessary attitude. And to have that endurance, of course, for one thing, I am not alone. I started this together with Reinhard Hangens, and we were always able to reinvigorate each other. And we have other people that worked for us, that helped us, people that criticized us. We've had arguments, of course, but we always got together again. And that is important. And what's also important is that it's good that a democracy, that we have to keep striving for, things take a long time. because imagine that at the snip of a finger you could change things. That would not be a disabled democracy. It does take a very long time. I thought 20 years at some points, but sometimes it takes 50 years for something to change, and you have to pass on the baton and stay healthy. That's the end of the psychology course, and I'm now going to read the next question.
Okay, from Mastodon, there is from Claudia Fischer, Transparenz. She also works for Digital Courage sometimes, but it's a very good question. And Claudia Fischer also operates a portal about violence.
Ritual violence, ritualized violence, yeah.
For international investigations, for example, violence against children, and quick freeze cannot help against that, perhaps?
Well, it's not the panacea for all kinds of investigations, especially when we talk about violence against children or child sexual abuse material. That needs very targeted police work. It needs investigators that can spend time infiltrating the circles where this material is exchanged, because data can be disguised. And those that are involved in the most severe crime go to the trouble of concealing their IP address.
Someone who worked for the police, so a policeman, really told me, and does investigation at a computer, and he doesn't need this telecommunications data retention. He needs different tools. He needs ways to be work on the computer and still have a career at the police, and you have management jobs. But for example, as a hackers, you cannot hack anymore, and only do have to do management, and you that wouldn't really be fun, and the competency would go away. And he said, I don't need this. This is just too much data. I need few data and targeted data. But every criminal makes mistakes, and you can find them, and sometimes it takes a long time. And he didn't say we get them all in the end. That's probably not right. And for a free society, that isn't really what we strive for. But in totalitarian states, you don't get all of them. Usually you get the wrong ones. But you really have to be careful that you don't think too much that always retaining all the data is a panacea. And he said most abuse cases aren't somewhere out there in the universe, but really next door. And you really have to look at the children, really have to listen, and have to have a community of people who really care for each other without going on each other's nerves. And that sometimes happens in our techno scene here, that we really care too much for each other, maybe, and are too hypervigilant. But we need other things do, and we really need not security theater against terrorists, but really secure in ways of social networks and education, and real education, not school education, but really education of the hearts. And I think we really need a lot of engagement from each other, from us, and we just don't put someone down for this, and but you don't need to tell anyone that he's stupid.
And what you alluded to, but maybe not spelled out, also the departments for the youth in cities. These are the people that see to education going the right way, and people being looked after, and staffing of these departments is always neglected when you keep talking about telecommunications data retention, if that is supposed to be the best means, the panacea. And we need means for prevention and for protecting victims.
And
we were in the Justice Ministry when the law, the Netz, Durchsetzungsgesetz, the network enforcement law, was passed, and we were just debating. Well, and we were saying, this is not actually a question for the justice system. It's for the Ministry for Family and stuff, whatever they may be called. It doesn't really belong in the Justice Department, and they tend to use the justice baton just as as a weapon, and that's not the best way. We need ways of looking at each other all the time.
So, thank you very much for the accompaniment,
yes, and
the announcement.
Thanks again for the introduction and for helping me out here, and I'll keep reading what you write on Mastodon. Maybe after you watch this talk as a recording, you may want to comment, and I'm going to read that.
Okay.
Thank you, Konstantin. I'll shake the hand. Of course, we know each other. Thank you, Konstantin Macher. This is your...